afternoon, evening, morning. I don't know where you are in the world, but welcome to Indeed. It's Wednesday. I'm back. Reg and J-Rose are not here. They're taking some time off. They held down the fort for me for the entire month of February. I just sat there off screen finding dumb tweets to pull up on the screen and stuff and people's match graphics as they were talking. But we're here. It's Wednesday. It's March. And that means we're celebrating Women's History Month. I just went to IWS Un-Effin' Sanctioned in Montreal this past Saturday, and I decided to bring like a third of the women's roster to the show with me today. So yeah, we got an amazing roundtable here. Some of the most talented wrestlers you'll find in Quebec, the best that the IWS has to offer, the battle daughters of Professor H. We got Katrina Creed. We got Kristara, we've got Melanie Havoc, and later on in the show, Sam Kelly's going to be joining us around 6:45 or so. What a trooper. She's going to hop in after she's off work. Like, man, what a worker. What a worker. But, you know, we'll kind of just go around, introduce everybody. I've got some questions for each of you, and then I've got some questions for the group. So, you know, champion's privilege. We'll start off with Katrina Creed.
Oh, pressure's on. Okay. Welcome to the show. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having us on and for the dope ass introduction. So my name is Katrina Creed. I'm the current IWS Women's Champion. I don't know what else is there to say. I've been doing shows for about a year and a half, going on 2 years about soon. That's about it. I don't know what else to say, honestly. Put me on the spot a bit there.
Oh, no, that's all good. I got some questions for you anyway. But, you know, you mentioned a year and a half. Kind of that speaks to your progress because you're IWS Women's Champion.
Yeah. It's which crazy.
Which also speaks to probably, you know, your trainers. But 100%. You know, I did mention at the top of the show, I was just at Un-Effin' Sanctioned on the weekend, which means I saw you beat Lufisto. You guys kicked off the show, had a dope match. She was beating you around pretty good in there.
she was.
How are you feeling on this on Wednesday now, a few days out?
Surprisingly okay. She definitely did give me a beating. I'd like to think that I gave her an equal amount of beatings back. I tried my best for sure. Definitely a bit stiff the next day, but a few days out, I'm okay considering what she put me through.
Something that stuck out to me from that one was the, my hair is never long enough for it. So, I've never experienced like, you know, having this happen to me through an elbow on a pillow or anything, but she stood on your hair, pulled you up.
She did.
Are her shoes the reason you sprayed your deodorant in your hair today?
Might have been, actually. You know, that's a good point. So for those who aren't in the know, I have, you know, my regular deodorant, regular ass deodorants on the side. I also got my spray deodorant and some dry shampoo. And today I was just chilling, doing my thing. And, instead of putting dry shampoo in my hair, I put, my spray deodorant in my hair. So that was fun. Felt really weird on the scalp. At least I'm not sweating a bit, but yeah, you know, maybe subconsciously we're like, you know what? We got to get some of that stink out. Her boot was on my head, on my hair. So subconsciously, maybe that's what it was. So actually, that's what I'm going to say from now on. Makes sense.
Perfect. Perfect. And, you know, you are the Queen Cobra. Have you considered that your opponent may, you know, try to like soothe you to sleep with a flute before they just get a quick pin though?
You got to stop giving people ideas, because now if I'm going to go into my next match and someone has a flute, I'm coming after you.
Honestly, probably I'd stay away from mystery wrestling if I can see that happening anywhere. That's probably the one. But also go. It looks so fun. I don't know. I'm assuming you've all been around. I know Kristar has been there. I've seen James Stone Eater across the
Yeah, road. Yeah.
But.
I've been to mystery wrestling. I was on the show once, and I've been a few times otherwise, just hanging out, or I think one other time maybe. Yeah,
awesome, love that. Unsanctioned, how was your time there? How was, you know, being a part of you know, celebrating 25 years of the IWS and leaving that show as women's champion?
God, I don't know. I was honestly riding that high for like a few days. Honestly, it was incredible. It was like so much more than what I was expecting. There was so much about that night that just felt really special. Just having it have been, well, our 25 years as a Fed, first off, just the card itself was amazing. Sorry, you might be hearing my cat in the background, by the way. She's
all
like,
good.
Meowing. She might do a run-in at some point, as she tends to do sometimes. So if she jumps on me, you've been warned. But yeah, so it was honestly, there were just so many things going into that night. Again, the 25th anniversary, the stacked card, the environment, the ambiance, the crowd itself. Like, it was like almost sold out, if not sold out. The crowd was electric. Just all those parts together made it so special to me. But then especially to go up against an opponent like Lufisto with the title on the line and to be first as well, which I wasn't expecting, which to me was a huge privilege, you know, to be given that spot. It was just amazing, you know, and I really felt good about the match too. During the match, it felt, obviously I was getting my ass kicked, so that didn't feel so good, but the rest, otherwise the adrenaline and everything, I was really just like feeding off the crowd and feeling it. And everything just really came into place for that match. And it was incredible. And just being able to leave Olympia with the belt after defeating Lufisto of all people, I can't even put it into words. Really, it was so special and so memorable. Easily one of, if not maybe the best night of my life as a wrestler. Yeah, and I'm just so grateful, really.
I could see that one for sure. You know, you did mention, you know, she's putting a pretty good beating on you, but it's Lufisto. She's going to do that to everybody. The fact that you came out of there with a win is better than most people get to say. So
that's true.
You know, and kind of speaking to the night and how awesome it was, and Sam Kelly's already here.
Hi.
I'm sorry.
Yo,
I'm
still
at work. I'm sorry, guys.
All good.
What do you mean? We weren't expecting you for like 30 some odd minutes, almost 40 minutes still.
Fast. I'm fast.
I'm going to get to this later because this is, there's an anecdote about this. But we're going to keep going around. So Kristara, welcome to the show. How are you doing today? Oh.
I'm doing good. I had mute too because my cat was meowing as well.
Yo.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to mute myself. So.
Oh, by all means, let the cats on stream. Let them make their noise.
It's like they just know.
Animals are good for views. It's all good. It's just, it's just more eyeballs on the show. More people getting to hear y'all. But again, welcome to this show. For those that don't know, Kristara, one half of Amazingly Sweet with Alex Mays, former IWS tag team champions. That must have felt pretty good to get a run with those belts. And you also got to take them off of JT and Shane, so bonus.
Yeah, made it even better.
Hey, you know, we love seeing Casanova Productions get held down.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So while we're on the topic of tag team wrestling, how did you link up with Alex, and what's your dynamic as a team? What's your dynamic as a team like? You know, both in the ring and obviously in the ring, a lot of synergy, fun, fast paced, a lot of energy. But is it also like that behind the curtain, or are you both like the most chill, laid back people actually?
Yeah, definitely not chilled, laid back people, kind of extra people. We became a team because we went to the same dojo, and it was actually Casanova Production, former leader, I don't know what to call him, Andrew, who put us together. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, a little sweet that we took the titles from him. He kind of put us together because we trained together. We kind of rode together everywhere we went. So we just kind of had like that little, connection. And then it just kind of worked out in the ring as well. Like we're just always training together. So it was very easy to just like have the same like mindset. So it was always a little fun because we kind of like to push each other and bring the best out of each other. Like, especially when we're doing promos, it's a little bit more fun because you can play off each other. You can joke around. So we just really like to motivate each other.
Absolutely. A lot of like positive, upbeat energy. Even, you know, somehow in the heat of combat in a ladder match, came up a little bit short on Saturday, but still very dope match. I had a great seat for the whole show. Like, I was front row. How was that match for you? Because, you know, ladder matches is obviously a little more painful than you know, just your average match. but also, you know, what was it like being a part of, you know, IWS's 25th anniversary and everything?
Yeah, going into that match, like, I was very nervous because I've never been in a ladder match at all. Like, I've done chairs, but, like, that's nothing compared to a ladder. Like, having to climb it, too, like, that's a little scary, but you have to try to win, right? So, of course, I'm going to have to climb the ladder. But after the fact, it, like, really felt like I, like, accomplished, like, a lifelong dream. Like, I did stuff that I saw on TV that, you know, I never thought I'd be a wrestler, but now I never thought I'd be in a ladder match. Like, what am I doing with my life? So that's just kind of how it felt. Like, I felt like I did something I was scared to do. And I went out there and I had fun because I was with like fun people as well. So that felt really good because it's just not something we get the opportunity to do as well, especially as like women's wrestlers talking about Women's Month. Like, we don't get to do like a ladder match on a show. So to be able to be put in there and show that, like, you know, like I can do it too. So the rest of them can do it as well. Like, that felt pretty cool because maybe, like, you know, people will see that and be like, well, let's put, you know, let's put Melanie and Sam Kelly in a ladder match or something. Do you know what I mean? So that just feels kind of cool to be able to do, because also it might make them feel more comfortable as well, seeing that I'm okay, because I did feel okay. And I was joking with people that I felt like more okay after a Ladder Wars match than wrestling some matches at like a random show, because sometimes the rings can be very like stiff and they hurt you more when you're just taking a regular bump, whereas the ladders, you know, we placed them properly, so we all felt okay. Well, at least I did. So
True. The ring quality and the ring crew quality is not always up to the standard that it is at IWS necessarily when you're traveling around, you know, night to night. Before I finish asking, you know, a couple more questions and we keep going around, you kind of touched on something, and well, it's fresh. Why aren't there a lot of like stipulation matches booked for women? Like, it seems, you know, it's just as it's a part of wrestling. Why does it seem to be a thing that like escapes feuds and, you know, made like storylines that are going on with women? Like, the blow off match just always ends up happening to be, you know, just a singles match most times.
Yeah.
Feel free, anyone jump in, go around the table. I don't, you know, whatever. If anyone has something they'd like to say about it, feel free.
I feel like it's not that they don't think that we can do it. It's just never, they don't think to do it for some reason. Like, the tables go to the men or something like that. But like, we're very much like capable of doing it. It's not a matter of like not wanting to give it to us. But also, yeah, I don't know if anyone else wants to touch on it, you know?
Yeah, I think also it's just, sorry, no, go ahead.
I already asked Andrew like a couple of times if we can have like an encore match, like tables, chairs, anything, like candlestick. And he was like, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess also I feel like that'd be really fun. Personally, I got more into hardcore than I thought I would. Again, like Chris was saying, like, I didn't think I would be a hardcore wrestler at all. Not that I am, but that I would even like it or venture into it. But with those bar shows, you kind of have to use your environment around you, which means, you know, some objects, you know, turning it into a hardcore match. And I ended up liking it more than I realized. So I feel like that could be really fun. But I think also at the same time, like, a lot of feds only kind of have like their stock, like, women's match. There's like the one woman match on the card, and usually it's just a regular singles match, you know? So, it's like, I think so long as outside of that, it's like, okay, there's a women's match on the card, like, good enough. They don't really think maybe of stipulations otherwise. And that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. And also feel like over here for us, the fact that a lot of us are kind of newer too, maybe it's not something they want to do. Like, oh, well, maybe they're not, like, there's not that one person that does those matches. Like, maybe let's not give them that pressure. Maybe like once we all start doing them more, maybe they'd be like, okay, like, that's not asking like them to do something they're not comfortable to do. I don't know.
Maybe
for sure.
Maybe like in the future, that is something that maybe everyone expect to do, but we get to start at the bottom and keep working hard, you know?
For sure.
Big facts, big facts. So, Kristar, I did want to come back to you because you did, you touched on the it was your first ladder match, but when thinking about your style of wrestling itself, you're fast as fuck is one way I will describe you, but also like you just don't see you're not afraid of anyone or anything. It seems like like James Stone, who's twice your size, no problem, no problem getting up in his sternum area, I guess. But yeah, what like, do you have any hobbies or like something outside of wrestling that like brought this kind of like fearless energy to you? Or is, yeah.
Well, I guess one thing I could say was that I grew up, I was the smallest cousin. I was the youngest cousin. So I never cared that I was the youngest person or the smallest person. I was always up in there. Like we'd bring a like a mattress in the living room and we'd all fight. And I'd like want to fight everybody. Like we'd fight like, you know, like wrestling. But it's like that was just always my energy, like little like scrappy do energy type of thing. So I guess I don't know, it's just the way I was raised to just kind of be like, hey, well, I don't care how big I am. Like I've always played sports and done other things, so I guess that's what makes me feel comfortable too, maybe in the ring and with my movements. But I definitely think it just like just the way I was raised.
Hell yeah. And also one more thing I wanted to touch on with you, because it seems like everyone in here at some point has made a push or kind of seemed in to have some intent for the women's title. A current and a former champion in here right now. You've had some close calls with it.
Good at you, Melanie.
So now are
Oh,
you,
hi.
but you're also having so much success with Alex as, as a tag team. Are you kind of trying to pursue multiple goals? Do you have more of a focus on one in the immediate future?
I mean, that sounds tempting. Can't say a ladder match between Katrina Creed and Kristara at next unsanctioned. I don't know. Kind of sounds like money. Or maybe, you know what? All of us, we're all in that ladder wars match. Maybe that's what
Yeah.
we're doing. This is
Yo.
the podcast that makes it happen.
Let's
Later.
let's
Why not?
ma let's manifest a ladder war for the IWS women's title at uneffing sanctioned next year.
Oh,
Let's
yeah.
manifest that shit.
Right?
And by manifest that shit, let's say, yo, Andrew.
Yo, Andrew.
All look at the camera.
You going, man?
this is us manifesting this.
Yeah. Or
we could even say we're womanifesting it.
Oh, shit. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Got
Boom.
him.
Boom. Mic drop.
I'll show myself out. Okay.
Microphone drop, not me. I add that no more. Anyway, moving along though, I do want to get around to Melanie and Sam. So, Melanie, welcome to the show as well. Former IWS Women's Champion, the classy kind of trashy. You won your women's championship from Veda Scott in a four-way match that included Kristara and Ruby Soho. That's that's a stacked match, and that's got to be a memory that feels pretty good.
Yeah, it is my best memory.
I know. I would imagine it would be. I just and I might have known that. I did edit a vlog for Love Wrestling that you did answer that question with. You did happen to answer a question with that.
Down the line.
So you're known as the classy kind of trashy. So I wanted to know, does that mean you do trashy things in a classy way, or do you do classy things in a trashy way?
Let's say it's both. Like, it depends what I do.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, mostly of mo most of the time I can be classy, but I can be also really trashy, so it's a good mix, I think.
You're speaking to the right people here. Yes, I right there with you. So I wanted to ask you, obviously, you did have a match pre-show of Unsanctioned. You left it a little early, and I wanted to ask how you're feeling today, if that's okay.
I'm still really mad because I wanted to do like a good match and It's the biggest show of the year. So I'm like, nope, not today. I'm like, okay, I'm still really angry about that, but that's a situation that you can't control, right? It happens. But right now I'm feeling better. Like, I think it's a miracle that I can actually walk a little bit. So that's a good sign. And I'm trying to fix it as soon as possible and get like back at the end of the month. It's hope.
Let's
And yeah,
go.
that's it.
Hell yeah. I'm really happy to hear that it's nothing like, super serious or anything too bad. There was, obviously I was there with a lot of regular IWS fans and we were all very concerned for you, so I just wanted to also did want to shout out your cane gear because that shit was fire.
Yeah.
Where who's responsible for making that?
Who did the gear?
Yeah, who did the gear?
It's a girl that is, she's used to do gymnastic gear, so she never did a wrestling gear before. So I knew her from like a job I was doing before, so she made it for me, and it was just amazing. Like, she used to do it all the time, so I was like, dude, this is amazing. I look so good in it.
That was her first time making wrestling gear? That's crazy. That's crazy. Probably won't be their last time if you put their handle out there publicly.
Oh, my. She's like, yeah. No, I keep it to myself.
There you go. Personal secret. Yep. Personal secrets. There you go. Can't no one can bite your style. And we th and then also Sam Kelly, thank you for joining us from work. This is super rad. Was not expect like we like I said, weren't expecting you still for like a good 20 minutes. So everyone's like all on time and early. It's great, everyone's so punctual. You don't get that a lot in independent wrestling. I appreciate it so much. Sam also saw saw you at Unsanctioned on Saturday. Also came up short to Leah Sparks in the four-way match. But you were there on the show. What was your experience there and the environment and atmosphere and stuff like for you?
For me, Saturday was like an experience and a learning. I'm gonna be on it because you mentioned Mel got injured. So we basically had a four-way and we switched to a three-way right away. So for me, it was like very an experience from learning. And I'm very, not that I'm happy, but I'm like, oof, okay, I did it, you know? And the girls did it. Did it too. They followed and everything. So everything went well at the end. I'm very happy that everything went well and that Mel is obviously getting better because it's wrestling, you know? When this type of situation comes, you're so on the adrenaline that you're not there, but you're there. Is that making sense? You're like, you just want to make sure that the match is going to be good. So that's what happened, and I'm very, very grateful for that. So this is my biggest concern over here. Not that I win the match on it and everything, just that everybody was getting back on track again and that Mel is getting better. This is the goal. So I'm very happy that she's getting better.
Yep, absolutely. Best possible,
Yeah.
best case scenario considering the circumstances for sure.
Exactly, but we did a match. Everybody like
Yes.
doing the best that they could, and this is a goal, and this is like I'm happy for this is my win, you know?
Yes,
This is
we
my win from Saturday.
absolutely.
Yay, yes.
Yes. We've got a cat
It
club going on. Let the views rain down. Come
happen.
on, let's go.
Trying to get mine in.
I honestly, I'd love to bring my dog in here, but like, no. Nope.
That's why I love cats better.
Yep. Nope. 80-pound German Shepherd. It's like I won't be able to podcast. I have to babysit if that happens. It's terrible.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Back to you though, Sam. So Sam, you are the inspiration, and since it is Women's History Month, I'd like to ask, what women within wrestling or outside of wrestling inspire you?
Oh my God! In wrestling, mm-hmm. it's got to be definitely Charlotte Flair. I mean, the queen. We have Mother. The Cobra, but we have the queen, you know? Because I also want to acknowledge the fact that Katrina Creed, Jesus, I can't talk today. It's also the queen, so take your crown and wear it, girl, okay? But I have Charlotte Flair that inspired me a lot because she always looked strong, always looked like she owned the place. I have Becky Lynch, though. Becky Lynch is such an athlete. I can't even breathe. I can't even breathe when I'm watching her because she's not only a wrestler, but she's a storyteller. And that is very important, very important. So Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley. I start really liking her game. I'm like, girl, I saw you there. I saw you put in the work. And she younger than me. Can you imagine that? This is crazy. This is unbelievable. So yeah, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and yeah.
All right, I'd love to take this that question around the table if we can. Go back to you, Melanie.
Yeah.
Again, you know, with it being Women's History Month, and what women inspire you in wrestling or outside of wrestling?
My first ever inspiration was, of course, Lita, and it was only her. And after I just watched some other woman wrestler, that I got a little bit inspired, but nothing like Lita, because it got how can I say that? Because I was younger, right, when I was watching. So it had a bigger impact on me. And I really wanted to look the same as her growing up. So I was like, that's the one. And after, I'm watching wrestling, but it's not the same. Like, I get inspired, yes, but not like on the same level. So yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Awesome. Lita. Yeah. Shout out, Lita. Kristara, how about yourself?
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's like so many different inspirations I could have, like in different ways. Like growing up, I loved Lita, but when I became a wrestler, wrestling has changed. So I can't really like look to her for inspiration as much anymore. You know, I grew up loving AJ Lee, Sasha Banks, just like for her bumping, like, you know, just wanting to oversell and like make people's stuff look really good. And honestly, like, I just love Candice LeRae. Like, I always say, I went to, Takeover in Toronto, and I saw that match between her and Io Shirai, and that's the match that got me to sign up for wrestling school. And then I just started watching a bunch of Candice LeRae, and I'm like, wow, she's so fucking cool. Like, I want to be just like her. So, honestly, I would put her at the top of the list because, like, her indie run was, like, legendary.
Okay, the speed, the fear, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm drawing the parallels.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what? Making a lot of sense. Dope answer. Yeah,
the sweetness, you know.
There you go. And then, you know, champion's privilege on the other end. You get to enter last on this question.
Oh, cool. Got some time to prep. That was a dope ass match, though. I take over. That was a really fucking good match between them. But yeah, so on my end, I guess like the other girl said, I love Lita as a little girl too. She was definitely my favorite girl. But actually, now that I've become a worker and I've looked back at some women's wrestling from that particular time period, there's a lot of women's wrestlers that I overlooked. Like Jacqueline was actually really good too. Victoria, I think, is probably my favorite from that era in retrospect. I really don't think she gets the credit that she deserves. At least for me, she was my favorite. I felt like she was kind of the best all-around performer in general. Maybe not so much promo-wise, but like otherwise, like everything she did was just so believable and had such a great intensity. And I loved Victoria. But I love Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is my favorite. I think she's so dope and everything she's doing is amazing. The fact that her and Charlotte Flair were able to have that match at Mania and just, show the world like how good they can do it. Even now, just talking about it really just swells my heart with pride. So I love Rhea Ripley. I really like Jamie Hayter as well, currently. And it sucks that she's been sidelined for so long, but I think she's so dope.
Oh man, that yeah, I'm missing seeing her on TV. It's
Yeah, she's great.
not a lot of people out there that that lay a beating like Jamie Hayter can. It's so
Yay.
fun. It's so fun to watch. So I did want to come back to you, Sam, for one more question. So you were in the four way. Leah took the win. Danny Leo's also been itching for another title shot. I know Mel can't wait to get back in there and get climbing back towards the belt. Do you have your eyes set on gold as well, or do you have other aspirations outside of chasing the title that so many people are gunning after?
For me, to be honest, to being in the ring for an event as big as IWS 25th anniversary is like a goal. It's like something that I was reaching for. But yeah, I always have my eyes in the goal, you know? I'm a wrestler. That's normal. But being in the ring for that is obviously breathtaking. And that is something, because if you think about it, last year, for the exact same event, I wasn't in. And now I had the chance to say that not only I was in for an IWS show like this, but it was for the 25th anniversary. So that is huge for me, and that is something that I was expecting. But yeah, if I have the chance to have like the women's title and everything, yeah. This is something that I want for sure.
Sam, please beat Matt Vigiani and become the new prime minister. Yo. Again,
Oh, you're right. Oh, shoot.
again, look, anything to hold Casanova Productions down, we'll take it.
Think of
We'll take it. All right. I do, so I've got some group questions here for like everybody, some like round table discussion, but are you good, Mel?
Yeah, I'm just like,
Sweet. It's a hey. Yeah, I don't know if you can see the bong behind me, but I'm right there. So anyway, we do have a super chat that came in here. So it's a little bit of a I guess a request, but yeah. This is from Van Twinblade. He's the whiteboard guy at Glory Pro here. Will all of you please come to St. Louis and jump Shazza? She's a meanie and says mean things. I am sure that all four of our guests today would love to come down to Glory Pro Wrestling in St. Louis and, beat on Shazza McKenzie.
Yep.
That an invite?
I wish it was an invite. Again, we can do some woo manifesting and
You could just show up.
Yeah, what up,
Yeah.
Dan the Dad? What up, Dan the Dad?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just show up. Yeah, let's do it.
There we go.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
There, cool. Pick me up in Hamilton on the way. I'd love to.
Okay.
I'll come. I'd love to come vlog
Awesome.
that.
I'll make the stop.
Four on one.
Boom. There we go. All right. So, like I said, I do have some questions for like just kind of everybody here because they apply to all of you. You all share so much in common. So, it's great and it's like awesome to have four guests on at the same time that like I can actually do this with. So I want to talk about the IWS dojo for a bit. It's widely praised as a safe, inclusive place for anyone who just loves wrestling and isn't an asshole to come learn how to wrestle if they're passionate enough about it. So I'd love to hear from each of you, what brought you to the IWS dojo and what your experience learning from Andrew, Shane Hawk, as everyone else knows him, what that's been like for each of you. So, Mel, if you'd like to go ahead.
Okay, so the question is, it's how I got to IDBS Dojo and what Andrew. But the, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so shit. So I was at another school before IDBS Dojo, and I was feeling like I wasn't learning good enough. So I left that school and I went to the IDBS Dojo, and holy crap, I learned so much in only 1 week. At this time, it was Matt Lee that was teaching the class, and I learned how to do a suplex. I learned how to do a elbow drop. I learned so many things, and I wasn't used to it because I was at the other school for 1 year, and I didn't know how to do an arm drag. I didn't know how to do a hip toss. I didn't know how to do a elbow drop and stuff like this. So, being at the IWS Dojo, I've learned so many things. And when Matt Lee left, Shane Ock, Andrew came in and he was the coach. So I've learned so many things from Andrew too. And he put me like in a spot where he knew that I was working hard enough to be a champ. And he was building me to be like, you know, the women's champ becoming. So I was working hard with him, and I'm really thankful for like everything. And yeah, I've learned so many things with Andrew. Like, she's crazy.
That's rad. Love hearing that. Kristara, how about yourself?
Yeah, so IWS was my only school. I actually didn't know anyone in the industry, so I did what people do, and I went on Reddit and I asked a question, and someone was like, why not IWS? And I didn't know anything about indie wrestling, so I was like, I guess I'll go. Like, I don't know. Like, they might be murderers. But I showed up, and everybody was looking really menacingly, like, in the parking lot. And then I said hi. They went, oh, hi, how are you going? And I was just like, oh, wow, they're so nice. And then every class, like, everybody was so nice and so helpful. And I would see Mel, and I would see Katrina, and I'd be, like, so excited to see, like, another girl and, like, always want to wrestle them and do stuff. So that was just my experience. Like, everybody was just, like, really nice. And, like, I would learn things that, like, I'd be like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And they'd be like, no, go do it. And then I'd do it, and then I did it. And I was like, oh, you're right. I guess, what do I know? If you tell me I can do it, well, then I can do it. Yeah. That's kind of like the ladder match thing. If you put me in a ladder wars match, well, I guess I can do it. Like, I don't know. You must know something that I don't know, is how I feel with Shane Hawk. Like, you know, you've been doing this for what, like 20 years? Like, I think you got a good opinion, and I'll trust you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's awesome. Sam, yourself?
Oh my God. Girls, do you remember when I started?
No.
I remember. I remember.
Pepperidge Farms remembers.
Because when I started, all the girls were there already. And the coach was obviously Shane Hawk Andrew. And the only problem that I had, and I still have at this moment, it's called Karen. Karen? It's my anxiety, okay? My anxiety took another level, another level in a good way. Because when I start at the dojo, I was not healthy. I was anxiety, and I was anxious. Like, my life was anxious. I wasn't anxious. I was not a person anymore. I was just anxiety, you know? And I was completely out of my mind. And Andrew was the first person, after all the girls and all the person who was there, to tell me that I am worth it to do something, you know? So not only he said to me that I'm good at something, but in this day, he continues to do it. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, Karen, can you just for like 2 minutes? I'm talking to Sam, not Karen, but like that changed everything. Because after I start, you know, training at the dojo and everything, I lost 50 pounds. I have the chance to have like some abilities to control more my anxiety. It's still shitty, you know, it's always going to be shitty, but it's less shitty than it was. And I actually have plan for me, you know, I have like something that I'm that I really love, that I really love, and I am really passionate about it. And I have a reason to keep going. So for me, it was like black and it become white.
That's amazing. And while I get Katrina's answer, I'm going to also say thank you, Sam, for reminding me to take my anxiety medication today.
I'm here for that. Coming back in 2 minutes.
So I actually joined because, believe it or not, I used to work at a cafe and Andrew was my manager. So, he told me he wrestled for the IWS, weird how it works out. He told me that he was wrestling for the IWS and I had actually gone to their shows like years before. So I'm like, oh yeah, I've been to a few of their shows. And then he was telling me about how they were going to pretty much like be starting a school soon. So I always kind of had that in the back of my mind, him and I added each other on Facebook, and it wasn't until a few years later where I saw this match between Jay White and Kenny Omega, that it inspired me to start wrestling. So I remembered what Andrew told me and I hit him up, and then I pretty much joined because of that. My first trainer was actually Matt Lee. So I started actually training before the pandemic, had a few matches right before the pandemic, and then it hit, and then I stopped training and I only started wrestling again, doing shows like in late 2022. But yeah, my first trainer was Matt Lee because like Andrew was injured during that time. So he was like my formative trainer and he taught me a lot. Super funny dude, pretty much as funny as he is on screen. That's more or less how he actually is. And I also trained under Speedball during that time, which Chris did as well. And Havoc did a bit as well, as if I'm not mistaken. And then of course, Andrew. Andrew's an excellent coach. I think we can all agree we're really lucky to have him as a coach. He's not just like a typical coach where it's like he clocks in and out. Like he's there to support us all the time. No matter what time of day we hit him up for all these stupid questions, and I know we all ask him like stupid ass shit all the time, he answers it like that. He's always there for us. So like, honestly, we're so lucky to have a coach like Andrew, who's also just so knowledgeable when it comes to like storytelling and how to build a character, how to do promos, how to build a proper match, and how to tell a proper story outside of just the athletic stuff. You know, he's so knowledgeable when it comes to that as well. But also just as a person, he's just such a great person to have on your side. So, yeah.
I absolutely agree with Andrew's, his science of wrestling, literally. the brain's response to how things work in a wrestling match is,
yeah,
just phenomenal shit.
Like, yeah,
I've never heard anyone say things like that, and they all make sense. It's not like weird made up bullshit that somebody would just tell you. It's like sensible, logical things that are rooted in science. It's insane.
So
you know, you mentioned obviously getting, you know, some training from Speedball and Papa Magie at the IWS dojo. There's been a ton of IWS alums that have come through the dojo, you know, just to like visit and hang out and stuff. Who are some IWS, just anyone throughout history that comes around that's also been beneficial to you as a part of their roster?
At the dojo itself?
At the dojo or just even around IWS?
I guess in terms of like being helpful in terms of like critiques and just advice and stuff like that. Honestly, I feel like most people, especially the vets, generally tend to be super helpful. You know, like either if I have matches with them or even if they're just watching by chance, there have been a lot of people, like I can't really think of anyone in particular off the top of my head, but there's a lot of people who will give their input. Also be super encouraging as well, but who will give critiques after like matches, which I find super invaluable because obviously these people are in the position they're in for a reason. They've been doing it for as long as they have been for a reason, and they're over for a reason. So you definitely want to listen to their input as well. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. It kind of caught me off guard as a question, but there's a lot of wrestlers. Like recently was actually Matthew Sejak, had a match that I had at like GPW. He just happened to be on the same card and he offered some advice, which to me was precious and invaluable. So there's a lot of people who offer that for sure.
That's cool. Looking out even, it's how independent wrestling works. It's like, you,
yeah,
you, You see your homies, you talk to your homies.
That's it. Yeah.
Thank you, Lawrence. Yes, your French lessons are working. I gotta give a shout out to Lawrence, because man, he sat beside me at the show on Saturday, and with all the French chants, I'd look at him and he'd like lean over and just be like, "It means that's not nice." he was just leaning over, giving me translations on the French chants all night. So thank you, nice. Lawrence. You're a hero. Still on the IWS dojo. I did talk about it's praised for, you know, the safe space it is and the inclusiveness. Have any of you had an experience there, like where you've, you know, really gone like, wow, it really do be like that here?
Every time, I think, like, everybody has the back of everybody. You're not alone when you're on the dojo. That's why it's made it more special, because everyone, it's friends with everyone. Everyone like each other, and you're not like left alone. When you come to the IWS dojo, you come to the family. That's it. Like, really.
I guess to speak on this, like a lot of times with like new students, wrestling is very overwhelming. There's all these people watching you and you have to go do these things. So sometimes like people feel really anxious, and I always find like the dojo does a good job of just being like, well, what can we do to make you comfortable? Like, okay, let's stop. Like, what do you need from us? And like, how can we do that for you, type of thing? Like, okay, like maybe we need to do this differently for it to like make sense to you. So that's just something that, you know, because not everybody learns the same way. So that's one thing that the dojo does really well. Well, oh, this person maybe needs this and this person doesn't. So like, you know, like how can we like just help everybody out for it to make sense?
I feel like I don't hear a lot of stories like that from wrestling schools where that, you know, they recognize that people have different learning styles and kind of adapt to it, as opposed to a lot of what you hear is like they just try to force the same method upon everybody, and it doesn't work like that for everybody. So
yeah, well, I think like as a wrestler, and I feel like this applies as a coach as well, I think one of the most important things is to be able to adapt to your opponent. So if I'm gonna wrestle someone and they don't have much experience, there's no way I'm gonna have the same type of match with that person as I will with someone who's more experienced. I'm not gonna put them through that. They're not comfortable, and I'm aware of it. I'm not going to do these moves onto this person, obviously. I don't mind taking more of their stuff because I'm comfortable bumping. I don't give a shit. But like, I'm not going to really put my whole arsenal of stuff in there. I think it's super important to be able to adapt to your opponent and try to get the best match out of them, considering like the constraints. Not that they're limited as people, it's just maybe where they're at that point, you know? And I think as a coach as well, you have to see that and realize, okay, people are different. You have to adapt to the person, and you pretty much have to teach things differently. So I think it's important to be able to do that in general. And I think us, you know, we try to be supportive of each other no matter what, and also try to help each other out in that respect as well. I think it's just an important skill to have, not just in wrestling, but outside of wrestling too.
Hell yeah. I see you nodding and agreeing with a lot of that, Melanie.
Yes, because I've been to IWS and another school before that, so I know the difference between both. And this, like, I know like the difference because I had a coach that didn't adjust to anyone. It was just forcing the same shit on anybody. And then after I had coaches at IWS that actually adjust to all the people, it makes a big difference for real.
And not only from learning, but like if you have problem in general. I mean, how many times these three girls right here help me with my anxiety just by looking at me? Stop talking. it's crazy. One day it's gonna be Chris Tara just looking at me like, are you good? I'm like, cats does the same thing, male does the same thing, and this is basically the behavior that you're supposed to have. You're supposed to be like a group of people who have the same passion, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love hearing this. You know, it's I've heard a lot of, you know, obviously we hear a lot of good things about places and people, but you know, without hearing it from the people who have actually experienced it, it's you know, you never know how much is you know, just, you know, some people telling a story or something. And it's so great to hear you know, how much, you know, Andrew and just everyone at around IWS and the dojo, they really are that, you know, it's a silly term sometimes because people don't really mean it when they say it, but like it really is that family atmosphere there. And it's something I picked up on a lot. Like it was very quick. I very quickly noticed when I was there on Saturday, even just with like regular fans that are coming out to the shows a lot. And, you know, just like people's family members and stuff. It's like everybody is kind of a part of everything. And you also talked about having like that circle and that support system, which brings me to an even tighter group of the four of you, plus some others that made its first appearance in February of this year, Women's Wrestling Syndicate. You all had the chance to work at Women's Wrestling Syndicate, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yes. Good.
Well, Havoc's on the next show, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, shit. Bad research on
Close.
Me.
Close.
bad research on me. But I'm sure, like, at least with you know, the feelings and sentiments towards the promotion, you can probably speak on some of those things. You know, obviously, it is like literally the sister promotion to the IWS. It's an all women's promotion, but like usually when you say all women's promotion, it's not really like all women. Right. You know, there's usually somebody somewhere in the back that is not a woman. But in this case, it is literally from like the ground up, just run by women for women. What's that been like? And this is where I said I have kind of a point to make on this that I'll bring back later in the show with everyone's so early and on time and everything. And you're, you know, but Erica, or El Santo, as she's known around WWS, she got interviewed for Love Wrestling when they were there. And she mentioned that it was like the most organized thing she's ever seen in any wrestling promotion ever. You know, what was all of your experience with you know, taking part in WWS and just being around on that day and the lead up to the show? Free for all. It's a scramble. Anyone talk? Go ahead.
I mean, I was honestly like, I think when, and this kind of like ties into the dojo as well, I'm not really sure why, but we seem to be getting like a lot of girls who are really dedicated at the IWS dojo, and it's kind of growing more and more, which is awesome. Because like I love being able to see other women apply themselves for something I'm also passionate about and see them push through like barriers that they might be facing and overcome it. Like, it's just something I don't know, it makes me feel good, you know? So that in itself also ties into WWS as well. There's kind of this growing number of women at the IWS dojo, all of which are going to be pretty much performing at WWS come next show, including Havoc. There's that same sentiment that I feel that I felt at that show as well, but it just kind of expanded to other girls of the scene that maybe aren't specifically part of our dojo, but we've still seen around. And it's just so fucking badass to be able to see all these women put on a good show and not just, oh, there's a couple of matches that are good and the rest are okay. Like, a lot of the matches were really fucking good. And we showed them that we could do it from top to bottom. We could fucking perform and have a good fucking show. And the audience was so into it, man. Like, that whole show from beginning to end, they were so reactive in ways that I don't always see at every show, which is just a testament to how good everyone was working. So it's just awesome to be a part of that. It's awesome to see it. Everyone was so encouraging and sweet backstage. Like, there weren't any egos. Everyone was super encouraging towards each other, super supportive. And it was just really great. My opponent, Mia Malik, is just the sweetest girl. And those girls too, okay, I gotta say, fucking crazy. They traveled because they came out from the East End. So like New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, around that area. These girls fucking drove about 16 hours to this show and barely slept. Some of them didn't sleep at all. Mia Malik, my opponent, did not sleep, okay? She did that match on no fucking sleep. And then they drove back. They drove, luckily when they drove back, they stopped at a hotel and slept a bit and then continued. But that, I just gotta put it out there, is so badass, also dangerous. I worried for them, but that is so fucking badass. And I just wanted to put it out there for them because I think they deserve, I don't know if it's a virtual round of applause or whatever it may be, but I think it's super commendable of them to have done that. You know, not a lot of people would have. So.
Do that.
Well, I'll join in at that point, but yeah.
For sure. That's good. Anyone else want to speak on the experience?
Yeah, I definitely felt like it kind of like you said, the feeling, it feels like the dojo were kind of like a sisterhood, but that's how it felt backstage. With all these people that we don't train with them, but you feel like these people have my best interests and we're all so happy to see each other and we all want each other to like just succeed and do well. Like, we just want this show to do well, and I feel like everyone around us felt the same feeling as well. So it just was really exciting because we're like, we're doing this, you know, this is something like we never thought would kind of happen at the dojo. Like when I first started, there was like Mel and Katrina, that was it. And now we have enough people where half the show is like people trained at that dojo. Like, it just felt like a very like, wow, we're building something special here. Like, that's really cool to be able to do. And I don't think anyone thought would happen. Like, even just the roster at IWS, it's like basically all IWS trained students. So that's sick. It's very cool because it's just like continuing because we're just like, you know, there's just more spots, right? So we see a new person and we're not like, oh no. We're like, oh, come on, come join us type of thing. So it's just like just a healthier environment is what it feels like.
Hurry up and get good. So there's another person to wrestle.
Exactly. Like, ooh, yeah, exactly. Another friend.
That's rad. So, you know, obviously like promotion's very close to home for all of you. You know, it's right there in Montreal. But you know, you both mentioned seeing a lot of, you know, faces from out of the area. I know, you know, personally, someone from my hometown, Laurel Cassidy, she comes around quite often around IWS and was at WWS. You know, who are some other people from out of the area that you wouldn't mind seeing come through to WWS that haven't been through yet?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, Bea Moss.
Oh yeah.
Yes. She seems so nice to work with. Oh my god.
Yeah, I've worked her before and she is very nice to work with, so I'd love to see her in this area. If I'm speaking about more people in your area, Crystal Moon, like, let's fill that car with Laurel. Let's bring in all the ladies, you know?
Yes.
Do a cross body versus, you know, WWS show. I don't know, like,
let's do it.
Yo, somebody better bring me out in their car for that one. If that shit ever happens, I will be there. I'll even boo crossbody because we'll be in Montreal.
Ooh, okay, now you gotta be there.
I do the good fan thing. I don't cheer my friends when they're working heel. I give them all the shit they want to hear.
Love to hear it.
Anyone else, or you know, well, you know, hey, Chris, you know, I heard Crystal Moon.
She's supposed to be there at the next event, but I'm so excited to see her match. Vlada,
same.
Yeah, she's from Quebec City.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
There's a lot of students there too, like Vlada. There's a new one named Ali as well. Like, it's Ali. Just nice to see like faces coming down here that maybe wouldn't have if it wasn't for WWS, because it's kind of hard to get out of your area, you know. Because it's word of mouth, right? So if we've never wrestled her, you know, it's harder for her to come over here. So it just makes more opportunities.
How about Mel? How about you, Mel? Anyone from out of the area that you'd particularly wouldn't mind seeing come through Montreal to lock up with you?
I already said it.
Oh yeah, he's
Oh shit. Everyone was all agreeing, so
that bong of yours.
One brain, right? So obviously, WWS founded, run by Lufisto, huge part of independent wrestling in Canada, let alone independent wrestling in Canada, period, let alone the strides that she has made, you know, across multiple scenes to advance women's wrestling. I can only assume it's dope as hell to like just have her around as somebody running the promotion, but what anyone have anything they'd like to say about Lufisto, WWS, just the working with and for her in general?
Yeah, I mean,
thank you for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Legit, yeah. It's just so dope to be able to be around her in the first place with everything she's done for us. I mean, I think part of the reason why we have such a platform, like, yeah, there's the women's revolution on the mainstream level, but there are people like Lufisto who were making those rounds and pretty much blazing a trail for all of us behind the scenes, you know, on the independents. So it's because of her, we're able to do what we can right now and to have that platform. So to be around her and around WWS as well, which is just a statement to that, a testament to it, is fucking badass. I love it. You know, I'm all about fucking women power and us kicking ass and doing it just as good as the guys, you know? So it's awesome that it's coming to fruition and that she's spearheading it of all people.
That's fantastic. Right. And so I got a couple questions left. They're kind of little more general questions. They're, I'd love to get an answer from everybody. Just from each of you, one goal for 2024. We're very goal focused here on Indeed. We like to set short term, long term goals and do our best to smash them. So, what's one thing from each of you for 2024 that you'd like to check off?
I definitely want to wrestle in another continent. So another country outside of the States and Canada. Also just more American bookings if I can, and just expanding more in Canada, of course. But I'm going to try for 2024 to just wrestle on another continent. So yeah, that's my main goal.
Yeah. Who's next?
That is a good question. Oh my God.
I can go. Similar goal to Katrina, like just wrestle somewhere new because it pushes you more. Like me specifically, I got my eyes on Western Canada. I'm trying to get out there. It's somehow easier to go to the States sometimes than it is to go to like Vancouver for some reason. So like Vancouver, like that's a goal for me.
Yeah, let me try something real quick here. Okay, hang on. Hi, Spencer. I would love to see Amazingly Sweet in Love for Wrestling in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada at some point. And look, at the very least, Kristara, you know, she just said Western Canada. So anyway, moving along, Melanie, Sam, anyone?
I think for me, I have my eyes on Toronto, maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
Yo, let's do that. It's right around here. Come on now.
Okay, so me, it's clearly I want to get in better shape. Actually, I'm in good shape, but I want to get bigger. And I want to learn some new moves, get stronger. I want to, you know, be able to wrestle like this year, like I was used to do before, but physically it's a little bit hard. So my goal is really to, you know, try to wrestle at new promotions that I never wrestled before. And I would love to wrestle like outside of Canada too, but if my body can like do it, I'm fine with it. But yeah, that's it. Pretty much getting like in better shape and wrestling like I can and why I
Yeah.
can.
Sounds like we got a whole carload here that wants to go to America, so that shouldn't be too hard to put together. I
Yeah.
love so I hope all of you the best in accomplishing all those goals this year. Couple more questions again, one from each of you, or if you want to just agree with each other on one or a couple things, feel free, because same brain, I get it. So, we've seen women's wrestling take some massive strides, especially over the last, 15, 20 years. And then really quickly over the last like 7 to 10 years, things have gotten a lot better pretty quick. So what is something that in your time that you've seen improve for women in wrestling already that you're pretty stoked about?
I'm really, really, really fucking glad. Sorry, but in NXT, it's crazy. Sometimes you have more women's matches than men, and that's just like more time, more spotlights for the women, and that's a major. How do you say major? Major. Sorry, this is anyway. Sorry, my English is not major. It's a major like step forward for women. Just having as much as time, as much matches in a show on TV. That's fucking crazy. Like the women are everywhere at NXT. I don't know if you watch it, but it's every time it blows my mind. I'm like, wow, they have actually more time than men. That's crazy.
That.
Oh
The fact that women can be in main events too.
yeah, it's like they're
It's
doing
dope.
the same as the men. Like it's equal.
Hell yeah. And then on the flip side of this, going forward, there's still work to be done. So what is one, what's a change that you would like to see happen, or something that's already maybe starting to change that you want to see, continue to pick up momentum?
I kind of it's in the same vein, but it's kind of nice when promotions have more than just one staple women's match and maybe have a couple. So IWS does that great. Acclaim's also another effort that does that. C4 can do that as well. There might be like women in scrambles and stuff like that, as well as like more primarily like a women's match or stuff or in tag teams. I'd like more intergender, honestly. I don't know, like out east, for whatever reason, there seems to be, at least in Canada, there's this apprehension towards it, which I think is bullshit. Because like, look, it's a fucking fake sport. You know what I mean? Like, it's not real. Like, so I mean, yeah, you want to kind of give the illusion still to some extent, but there's ways to build matches around that. Okay, like if you're up against a guy who's like a bit or quite a bit bigger, obviously you're going to sell it more. If you're with a guy who's comparable in size, okay, you'll sell it a little bit more, but not as much as like a way bigger dude. Especially as women, it's like we kind of we if we're only wrestling other women, we have a smaller pool to wrestle against. And I feel like as Chris was mentioning, like a way to get better is really just to push past your limits and be uncomfortable, essentially do something you're not used to. If you're constantly wrestling the same people, you're not going to progress, or you will, but minimally. And I'm all
Oh,
about
yeah.
progressing as much as possible, you know? So like I want more intergender, damn it. Let's go. I
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
agree.
The classic. Oh, we wrestled each other 2 months ago on the same promotion.
Yeah, or God, and Chris and I, what was it? At some point, we in like a month or two, we wrestled each other like what, 4 or 5 times?
Yeah,
Like,
almost every weekend. We're just like, let's
yeah,
run it
it
back.
was
Let's run it back. We'll change
ridiculous.
this one thing, you know?
Oh my God. You
Yeah, like I think Chris like worked out the percentage of like the number of matches we both had in our year, and how much was it again?
I can't remember, but you had like a big percentage, like 33 or something crazy, where it's just like, that makes no sense. Why do we have that many
Come
matches?
on.
Like a yeah, that's I big agree. If I can throw my own answer out to my own question here, even though this show is not for me. But It is, yeah, like it honestly, throwing out the term intergender wrestling just as a whole would be so awesome, because there's like, you know, in 2024 we have more than two genders anyway, so like it's just all like having a men's division and a women's division is already just not inclusive to like our non-binary homies. And then, you know, you go a little further with it, and again, like you mentioned, it's like it's a barrier that only negatively impacts women if you're not, because the crossover of getting to gain experience through working with new people, it's like there's statistically less women generally wrestling in any given area, and you know, the math just does itself. It sucks. So yeah, going forward, that's the one for me too. I answered my own question. I'm sorry, but you know, at the same time, it's my show. I'll do what I want. So
fair enough.
That being said, we've been here for a while. I've kept you here longer than I promised to keep any of you here. So we will wrap this up. I thank all of you, just in general, to all four of you collectively, so much for a dope fun time on Saturday this weekend. I had just the best day at IWS. It was my first time there, and I'll see you in May, because I'm definitely coming back.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, before we go though, you know, please let everyone know where they can find you at on social media, plug any shit that you have coming up. You know, we'll start just, I guess we'll go clockwise from the camera. So Melanie, go ahead.
Well, me, I'm everywhere. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, like at Melanie Haddock. And I'm also TikTok, but I don't really like TikTok. So just follow me on Instagram instead.
Yeah, I missed the boat on TikTok. Christara? Same.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram at _ Christara. I have a YouTube where I upload like clips sometimes of matches, because a lot of places don't upload matches. So you can see kind of some things that I do. And my thing is just The Sweetest Pea on YouTube. So check that out.
That Katrina.
Thanks. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Katrina Creed, Katrina with a K, Creed with a C. Instagram, it's at cats with a K. Oh geez, my cats are going at it. Okay, sorry. On Instagram, okay. You can find me at cat with a K dot Creed with a C. I don't have a YouTube page. I should probably get one. And TikTok, probably not happening. So yep.
And Sam, go ahead.
So me, it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at DSamKelly. I have a TikTok though that I'm just trying to build, but I'm not very proud of it right now, so I'm not gonna plug it, you know, like not. And I have YouTube channel that I try to build more though, but yeah, Sam Kelly everywhere. I'm everywhere. I'm like male. I'm everywhere.
Boom. Perfect. Again, thank you all so much for joining me. Well, I was going to say us, but it's just me this week. Thank you for joining me this week. As for myself, Twitter handle's right there at Mike from Indeed. All the social medias, do that. Content creators and anyone out there, just make all your social medias the same handle. It's the easiest shit you'll ever do in your life.
Yeah.
Follow me, Mike from Indeed. I might go live on Twitch sometime this week. Who knows? Probably not. Shows that are coming up that I'm going to. March 17th, I'll be at Crossbody Pro Wrestling. March 24th, I'll be at Alpha One Pro Wrestling. You know, come say hi. Let's smoke some weed. And as far as Indeed or where to find me content-wise, Sunday, Brunch Gimmick, Love Wrestling. I might be there this week. I don't know. I slept through the last couple because I've been nocturnal. And next week, back here, Indeed, 6 p.m. live. Reg and J Rose should probably be here, but definitely someone that will be here is Veda Scott. And although Veda Scott is non-binary, they face all the same bullshit and barriers and struggles that women in the industry do. So it's my show. Just, you know, bite me. See you next week. Love you. Bye.
I'm